We're going to be talking today about the people in the shadows in art and entertainment, the people behind the stars, all the folks whose job it is to assist or advance the person whose name appears on the marquee. Joining me to have that conversation is Danny Goldberg, who has been the guy behind an amazing array of music stars. He's been responsible so far for helping to shape the careers of artists ranging from Nirvana to Bonnie Raitt to Madonna to Hanson to REM. He's managed bands personally, and he's headed giant record labels like Atlantic and Mercury. Right now, he runs Artemis Records, a company he started 2 years ago that releases about 20 albums a year, if albums are still indeed called albums, and we can talk about that. Artemis works with wildly disparate acts, including the pop rap group Baha Men and the punk metal girl band Kitty. Danny Goldberg, welcome to Studio 360.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Now, you've both managed bands in a very hands-on way, and you've been the head of these big multinational record companies where you have staffs of hundreds of people. Is one of those more fun than the other as a means of working in the music industry?
Well, there are different kinds of fun, and obviously there are different times in your life. I think when you're younger, when I was younger, certainly, all I wanted to do was be a manager. Especially if you're single and you can feel free emotionally to travel all you want, the level of intimacy with the artist is at a maximum in the management relationship. And if you love artists and you don't have any musical talent, which I certainly don't, it's the closest you can come to really directing and shaping and, you know, being part of people. And if you admire and like your clients, which certainly isn't always the case, but if that is the case, that's the most emotionally gratifying, but it's also the toughest lifestyle, because you're in the service business, you're not building up any real equity, you're totally dependent on a few people, and if they get mad at you or change the direction of their career, it screws up your whole livelihood, and you have to travel a lot, which is not great. So when I got married and my wife and I had our first kid, I knew immediately that I didn't want to be a manager anymore, and so for this last 11 years of my life, it's been better to be on the record company side, where I can still use some of the skills, but don't have the physical demands are not as great. But emotionally, there's nothing like management if you like music. That's the closest you are to the creative process.
10 years ago or so, you were simultaneously managing Bonnie Raitt's wonderful and enormously well-deserved comeback, and the explosion of Nirvana into the music scene. Is there a kind of inherent schizophrenia in your job, given those, for instance, two very different musical voices?
No, I don't think it's that. There are some schizophrenia involved in it. The schizophrenia is more in the balance of short-term running of a business, and both for yourself and to the extent that you're representing an artist, and the longer-term environment in which creativity actually can happen. That's the most schizophrenic part of it. The different genres, to me, are not schizophrenic. To me, that's just part of the joy of doing what I do, because, as I say, I don't have musical talent, so it's not like I have a proficiency at one genre and not at the other. That being able to be involved with artists who are distinctive from each other musically makes it just kind of more interesting if you think they're good at what they do. So that's not particularly schizophrenic. That's just the nature of creativity, is no two creative people are the same. But the schizophrenia comes from the clash between the left brain and the right brain.
You've said a couple of times you have no musical talent. What would you say your great talent is, and what has accounted for your success in nurturing other talents?
It has something to do with the balance of really empathizing with the creative process on the one hand, and being able to have some level of functioning in the linear world on the other, and somehow being able to achieve that balance in a way that's added value to the careers of enough people. It's kind of a mouthful, but it's a similar skill set to what a great editor has, or a great programmer at a TV network or a movie studio. It's that kind of a job. I don't know what the one-line description of it is.
Do you find yourself these days working with artists that are continue to be your age, which is to say closer to 50 than to 20? I mean, the Steve Earls and the of the world and Ricky Lee Jones and so forth?
Part of the company is that, and those are probably the artists that I am the closest to, would be Steve Earle and Warren Zevon and Ricky Lee Jones, Tom Scholz from Boston, because we are of the same generation, and so I'm really part of their audience. And we also have, you know, frames of reference in terms of both the business and the culture that are the same. With the younger artists, I'm more the businessman whose job it is to explain the business to them. But every once in a while, and the joy of doing it and why it's fun to be 51 and be in the record business is I'll hear a group like Kitty, where the oldest member is 19, and I really can feel for that moment what their 14-year-old fans love about them. And, you know, I was able to feel that in my late 30s, early 40s with Nirvana, and every once in a while I can kind of zone into that place, probably because there's a part of me that's still adolescent. I'm not sure if that's a good or a bad thing, but in the context of what I do for a living, it's probably a plus. But there's a different relationship with my generation, where I'm more hands-on and more kind of the guy that they might talk to about stuff, whereas with the younger artists, I tend to more be the guy running the company, the more the grown-up guy.
Is it best for you if you like or love the music of the artist whose music you're selling and promoting?
Well, I have to believe that somebody loves it. It's not important that I love everything because, you know, for an artist that's appealing to a young audience, it's not such a great thing to have middle-aged people love it. But no, I don't have to love every record. I have to respect every record.
Who let the dogs out?
I don't know how much you love Baja Man, whose hit Who Let the Dogs Out was one of your early huge, huge hits after you started Artemis. Was there a series of steps that you knew how to do to launch that, to become this song that was played in every stadium and on the lips of every kid for several months in America?
Most of what happened, and this is true of most hit records, about 95% of what happened happened by itself. And the key was starting the chain reaction. Once the chain reaction, when Nirvana came out, Eddie Rosenblatt, who was the president of Geffen, when asked about the marketing plan for Nevermind, said, our marketing plan is to get out of the way and duck. And so the sports thing really kind of happened in a reaction to the fact that the record was already a hit. I mean, we did a mailing to sports teams and hired a sports marketing company because somebody in a marketing meeting said, gee, maybe it would be a sports anthem. So it's one of those ideas that there's 100 of. It costs very little to do it. Yeah, you know, but we were just incredibly lucky. No other record ever contemporaneous with its success on the radio has become a sports anthem. Usually it's 5-10 years after the fact, like We Will Rock You or something like that.
How does it feel to be a 51-year-old man selling records to 9-year-olds?
It's awesome because I have a 7 and 11-year-old at home, and to do something that my kids get off on is just one of the great perks of the job. I can't do it every year. I can't do it on demand. But, man, when it's happened twice since my kids have been conscious of music with Hanson and with Bahaman, two of the most fun sort of perks of the profession.
So if listeners out there were annoyed several years ago by every child in their household going mbop all the time, I guess you're the man that they should write to now.
Oh, I'm sure they're annoyed about something else by now.